I give the Dominican baseball team all the credit in the world for creating the intensity around this event.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I know that Juan Soto said, I think everybody could judge and see who the best team was out there.
Nathan McKinnon.
Right, exactly. Where you don't look great when you say that, but one thing I did like about the fact is he was just, you know, about that statement rather, was that he's super passionate about it, and seeing that part of him is great, and I really hope that eventually, and I hope it happens sooner than later, he feels that way about putting the Mets uniform on. It'll never be like representing your country. It's not the same thing. But just the pride and the defense of the organization and we're the best, and having that confidence that he has when he puts that uniform on, I hope it happens with the Mets sooner than later.
Right, and then you hear what Aaron Judge has been saying for the last 2 weeks. So I also thought this was a big... This is a big rebound off of what the two hockey teams did in the Olympics and how everybody got behind them and those guys wrapping themselves in the flag and wearing the jersey and talking about wearing the jersey, talking about wearing the flag on, you know, on your back or on your chest. I mean, everybody is kind of caught up to that now in this particular deal. I think there's way too many teams. I was telling Jerry, I wish there was a way that they could modify this and play it maybe in the middle of the season. And do like a 6-team tournament, much like the Four Nations for the NHL. And those Four Nations teams really laid it on the line. They really wanted to win that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I said when you were gone, as we're all catching up at this point, that it was hard for me to get into it when you're not giving your best to try to win the thing. For example, now when the guys are out there and they're playing, they're trying their hardest, but you know, a guy like Tarik Skubal's only going to make a start, or Paul Skeens only going to throw 60 pitches, or we're going to get these guys off their feet, and they're protecting the season, which I appreciate that they're protecting the season, but it's just... When you have an event like you coming off of the Olympics where these guys gave it every single bit of energy and did not care if they were going to get hurt for the rest of the season, and then you back it up with this where it's like, oh, we got to protect this guy. This guy's only making one star. This guy's contract's going to be up. It just doesn't. It can't match. It just cannot match.
It doesn't match, but it's turned out, like I said, the Dominican team, even the Venezuelan team, another team, the Puerto Rican team, the flair and the excitement and the jubilation around winning and hitting home runs and the bat flips and, you know, all the stuff that they really don't get to do in Major League Baseball, because if they do, they're going to get a ball thrown at their head.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody is bought into exactly the feeling of euphoria that is around this, which I think is great. I really do. I got to tell you, I was watching this game last night. Got the Ranger game on. You know, they lose to the Kings, so what? But, I, you know, watching this, you can see what it really does mean to the players. And you got the Italian team with an espresso machine in the locker, in
yeah,
the dugout, and everything.
Cervelli, yeah, I thought that was just great. Yeah.
It's just good, you know, fun stuff that, I mean, the guys on the Italian team were talking about how Italy's obviously not known for baseball. They're known for their soccer. And they have a couple golfers, I guess, and cyclists and F1 drivers. And yeah, every now and then they got a skier that's coming down the hill like Alberto Tomba, like a maniac. But they're trying to grow the game of baseball in Italy. That's part of why they're a part of this.
Well, you were growing the game of football in Italy.
I was.
Many years ago.
1987. Well, wow, summer of 87.
40 years ago.
Summer of 87.
I mean, think about that.
That's right.
Didn't really catch on, though, the Italian-American football.
I'm surprised they don't have a game in Rome.
Yeah, think about that. Of all the places.
Major cities that they could have had games. You know why? Italy doesn't want to pay for it.
Oh, okay.
That's what, you know, it comes down to the NFL. They don't want to pay for it. And I don't know if you saw this, but now that...
Probably not.
Now that Skydance has bought Paramount, the NFL is reopening that contract with CBS.
Of course.
And they're going to end up getting about 50% more from Skydance Paramount to the tune of probably $3.2 or $3.3 billion. They're going to extend their contract out to about 30, 33, which is good for CBS. It's good for everybody.
Yeah. But, good for Stephen Waldron, right?
I would hope so. Yeah, I would think so. Good for the people at the NFL today and all that to continue to have jobs until 2033, I believe. But, it's really interesting. But they're also talking about now adding a Thursday night football game to Thanksgiving. So you're going to have a triple header, and, you know, of course, you know, those games are going to be coming from the Sunday package from either Fox or CBS. All those individual games usually get stolen from the Sunday slate on, you know, one of the networks. So you're spending a lot of money. This is the beauty of the NFL. Fox and CBS spent all this money to have the rights. Okay, then they put it on their local CBS affiliates, depending on who's playing. And every now and again, they, you know, obviously get the afternoon full slate game, which goes all across the country. But then the NFL turns around and sells those to YouTube TV. In this case, it used to be DirecTV,
yeah,
but now it's YouTube TV.
Yep.
So they're getting the money from Fox and CBS, and then turning around and selling what Fox and CBS are putting out there to YouTube TV.
Yeah, I mean, it is capitalizing on the popularity like you've never seen. So you're saying, just to be clear, that because, you know, we have the Thursday
Thanksgiving slate.
Yeah, Thursday Thanksgiving triple header, that you're saying that leading up to Thanksgiving, every week they're going to play three games on a Thursday?
No. They're adding another game. So once, maybe it's the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so they're
okay.
Adding another game somewhere.
So. Oh, all right. I was like, you said leading up to Thanksgiving, and I'm like another game? But they have a Black Friday game too.
They do have a Black Friday game, but they have two games on Thanksgiving.
Three.
It's three because there's three. So they're I think they may be adding a second one.
On Black Friday.
Maybe, yes.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, I thought you were saying like the Thursday before Thanksgiving.
No.
Triple header. So there already are three games on Thanksgiving. There's already a Black Friday game. So whatever. They're going to add a game somewhere, and we're going to have to watch it.
They're adding another game somewhere, yes.
And it's probably going to be a Jet or Giant game that we're going to have to talk about.
Maybe. Well, listen, if in the case of the Giants, with all the moves that they have made, including the first and most important move, the head coach, That's the first move that cost them $20 million per year for the head coach. Then he brings in his staff. Then he brings in Don Aponte. What does that do to Joe Shane? Does it do anything? Who knows? You know, we can all sit around here and try to figure out what the heck that means. But she's reporting directly to the head coach. All the free agents that they've signed, all the re-signings that they've done to their own free agents, and adding, I don't know if you saw this, they added Patrick Ricard, the fullback.
Yes.
And as I always tell you,
a fullback.
In the Northeast, what do you have to do and what makes you a tough football team?
Run the football.
And what do you add? You add fullbacks.
That's right.
So you got
Smash Mouth.
So you got Ricard, you got Scataboo now. I mean, this is going to be, I mean, just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what would be amazing? If they added like a Thanksgiving Eve game and it's the Giants and the Eagles, and it's a huge matchup in November.
Yeah.
And then we have to be in here on Thanksgiving morning to break that down. It would just completely ruin my whole Thanksgiving vibe at that point.
Yeah, well, you just had a couple of days off, so just
calm down. You want to work on Thanksgiving? I don't want to work on Thanksgiving.
I don't want to either.
They're not going to play a Wednesday game, right?
Oh, no, that's happening.
That's what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm so confused. I've been living in airports. Someone tell me the real story.
The rumor is they're adding the Wednesday night game.
Wednesday night game.
Prior to Thanksgiving. So you'd have Wednesday night, three Thursday, a Black Friday game.
So that's
what it is. So the NFL's discussions on a Thanksgiving Wednesday night game and a doubleheader on Black Friday.
Jesus.
That's three games that they're adding, or two games that they're adding. We're adding the game on Wednesday, adding another game on Friday, and those are the games that would normally be on Fox and CBS. But Fox and CBS, because now CBS is extended to 30 to 33, you're going to want Fox and NBC and everybody else are going to want to extend their deals as well.
So those two teams that are playing on Wednesday have to be coming off a bye, correct? There's no way in hell.
I don't know
hell.
There's no
way in hell they could play Sunday and Wednesday.
We can definitely call the man of knowledge.
Yes, we could.
And this extends, there's a streak of like, I think, 7 weeks of either a Division I college football or NFL game that starts when Tuesday night Maction starts.
Yeah.
And seven straight weeks, and it usually ends on the day before Thanksgiving. Now we extend that.
We go right through.
Another couple days.
Wednesday night football.
Going to be football, football, and more football.
Eight straight weeks of a game.
They are basically just dominating.
Well, of course.
They're dominating.
They've been doing it for years. I mean, does it ever burst? Does the bubble ever burst with the NFL, with the expansions of games and the international games and adding games on Wednesdays? I mean, does it ever get to a point where it's too much? Doesn't feel like it right now.
All I know is that so Skydance Paramount will end up paying probably, like I said, an extra billion, maybe $1.3 billion, maybe. Who knows? Couldn't even be more than that. And they're going to have a few more games taken away from them.
Yeah.
And because now you have ESPN in the rotation for the Super Bowl, who knows if one of these streaming services, whether it be Prime or Netflix or Hulu or Peacock,
yeah,
somebody's going to get the Super Bowl eventually.
Schmegma's going to get involved too.
Eventually going to get the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because they're going to spend so much money for it.
Will you see a Super Bowl on Schmegma in your lifetime, do you think? You think they're going to get one?
The Schmeg Bowl.
The Schmeg Bowl. Here we are, breaking down the Schmeg Bowl, live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
It is crazy, man. I mean, like, just think about what the Patriots did last year in free agency, spent about $330 million. Already the Titans have spent over $300 million in future contracts.
It's a lot of wood.
It is a lot of wood. And it's good for the players because basically what ends up happening is that the salary cap will go up again next year. It's finally over $300 million a year.
Yeah.
And it will go up next year somewhere probably to the tune of, well, it depends. It depends if they count the new contract from Paramount. I don't know how they're going to do that, but it could go up to $320, $330 million next year.